show because we don't have the funky, you know, clips of us going back and forth on the air like we do on Satellite Sundays. That'll come in time. Sports Roundup is here. The much-anticipated debut of Sports Roundup, 11 to 1 Tuesdays to Thursdays. Got a smaller crew here. Obviously, you've got myself, Chris McSwiggin, the voice of the voiceless, per se. We've got Brianna on the line, who's a great writer of ours. And I'm not gonna attempt the last one. I don't want to butcher it. but I hold on. Let me just pull.
It's a lot easier than it looks, to be honest with you.
Is it?
It's peer. Just one syllable. Peer.
Oh, it's peer. Like.
Yeah.
Peer. Okay.
Yep.
See, I was gonna say Pierre, and I didn't want to like.
You're not the first.
No? Well, it's spelled Pierre, so I mean, maybe you should change the spelling and people won't have that issue. And then we have Danker with us.
Hello?
Now, is Danker really your last name?
Danker is my last name.
Danker, you know what that kind of sounds like, right?
Well, thank you in German?
No, it sounds like wanker.
Yeah, I've heard that all my life. thanks for bringing that back up.
This is like a third grade kind of show here. So for those of you who may not know, who may not be familiar, you're used to hearing me on your good old car stereo airwaves here at the FM in the Albany, New York area. Now you're hearing us again, but you're hearing us through overtime.news. You're hearing me live with the two co-hosts of the new show. And again, it's called Sports Roundup. And we've got a big, big thing of topics today for all of you. And the main one, but first I just want to go over this because Brianna wasn't here for this discussion. I just dropped off my buddy. He tore his ACL playing basketball in the men's league that we played in.
Ouch.
And this was back in fall. And obviously, as you know, we played together in college and stuff. So he's kind of upset about it, but he's getting better now. He's doing better. And I dropped him off for physical therapy because he still is having trouble driving because, you know, blah blah blah. And after this, he has a business lunch. After this. And he's like, yo, can you come get me at like 11:15, bring me to business lunch? I'm like, no, I'm going to be on air doing my show. And I was just thinking, between brunch on Sunday and business lunches, why are these things? Are these things – am I 10 years late on these things? Like, am I the only one who doesn't go to brunch and business lunches? Like, what?
Yeah. No, that is a little – I was in the business world for 18 years leading up to, you know, in business lunches. No, they weren't really all that much of a thing. You know, you'd have lunch, but, you know, you just kind of, it was more of a casual thing. You go out with your boss for lunch or
whatever. Well, yeah, he's
whatever,
got jeans and his you know, company jacket thing on. He's not wearing like a suit and tie, but I mean, am I late on this? Does the media business not have business lunches? I've never been invited to a radio lunch. You know, it hasn't happened. They don't treat us to anything. They don't. They barely even pay for. You know, they barely even pay us, much less
You're
give
right.
us lunches.
Well, yeah,
but
radio
I'm sorry.
Is,
the operations manager is going to kill me for that. But what?
I think radio is notorious for being a low-paid industry in the first place, and then to splurge on something like a business radio lunch seems maybe like it's not in the budget for radio in general. Maybe that's what it is.
It is, but it's not. I mean, you look at Skip Bayless getting $5 million to go to ESPN. To leave ESPN. It's one of those things, and I tell people this all the time. When I went to the Connecticut School of Broadcasting, it's a ladder rung business. You're going to start at the bottom. You're going to start getting coffee for people, okay? And this is a business that actually drives a lot of people out. If this is something, I know Brianna, you're going to college, and we'll get into this throughout the show as to what you're actually studying, but. When you get into the field, it is one of those things where it drives a lot of people out because you're like, oh, God, you know, I'm not making any money. I'm not actually on the radio. I'm not doing anything. But if you stick with it, what it'll do for you is you'll start editing clips and then you'll start, you know, getting more and more stuff. They usually start you off as a board operator. So, you know, you're basically the guy who is in charge of playing the commercials when the announcer says, and we'll be back after this on blah, blah, blah station. And then you hit, you know, the commercial breaks and you're sitting there for a 4-hour game just playing with commercials. No one even knows you're there. So you usually start with that. That's part time, this and that. And then, you know, you work your way up and eventually you do that for a year or two or a year and a half, whatever. And something else opens up. and then you join to that, and then you move up to that, and eventually you become Colin Cowherd, who's my idol, by the way. And, you know, so it's one of those things where it's a ladder rung business. You look at ESPN, there's nobody that's on air at ESPN, and you can look this – well, there is now because they're trending in a younger direction because they're losing everybody. But a couple years ago, there was nobody on air at ESPN. You could see on, like, SportsCenter, for instance, who was under 35 years old. Because if you apply for an on-air position at ESPN, they want, like, 30 years of experience.
Mm. Well, you know, so, I think you nailed it, man, when you call it a ladder, a rung ladder approach. And you know what? The way you describe it almost sounds to me like an old-school sort of apprenticeship sort of
a bit,
industry.
Yeah, a bit of – it is, kind
you know,
of,
you
yes.
You served so many years doing this and doing that and then worked your way up. You know, you had to prove yourself. You had to, you know, build up your chops, get all the technical – behind scenes aspects down pat.
Well, I mean,
before you're ready
you need a
to
resume,
make the jump.
Like, well, you need a resume like 10 pages long. A lot of people, you look at like what Howard Stern did. Howard Stern lived in like 10 different cities. He was living out of his car, and now he's worth $500 million or whatever it is. You know,
right.
So it's one of those things where you got to have perseverance. You have to, learn the ropes a little bit. And once you get there, I mean, hell, I couldn't apply for – I'm working at a local affiliate in Albany, New York. I couldn't apply at the Bristol location right now. And I've been doing this for – oh, geez. I graduated college with a broadcast journalism degree in 06.
Went to
Connecticut
wow.
School of Broadcast.
8 years.
Yeah.
No, 10 years. Yeah, holy cow.
And then Connecticut School of Broadcast – oh, no, excuse me. High school was 06. I'm losing my mind. I'm not that old. college was 2010 with a broadcast degree. And then Connecticut School of Broadcasting after that. So I have about 5 years of on-air experience, and I still couldn't apply at the Bristol location. So just to tell you, you know, they would probably, with as much on-air experience as I have, even though I work for one of their affiliates, I still would probably be a board op at the big guy station, you know.
Wow.
So that's the big boys. Yeah, that's what the big boys do. So
basically, once you get your degree, you know, whether it be – well, do you, here's a question. Do you have to have that Connecticut School of Broadcasting degree? In order
no.
to – does that have to be on your resume? Is that something that's a necessity? Or just going to Syracuse and graduating with a communications degree, is that more of a entry?
Are you saying you went to Syracuse?
I did not.
Oh, okay, because my whole family – I'm the only member of my family that went – well, no, of course. I'm the only member of my family that didn't go to Syracuse. And that's because I wanted to play basketball in college, and I'm not exactly qualified at 6 foot and white. But anyway, so I'm looking, and we will get into some sports, I promise. But as you see in the agenda here, it's called opening banter, so that's kind of what I wanted to set this up as. But no, you don't necessarily need it per se. But a quick little story about me, because it's only a 90-minute show instead of 2 hours. We do have some juicy sports topics, but. Quick little story about me is I started writing for a newspaper. I was a beat reporter for a local high school when I was in college, and then I started writing in a newspaper in New Hampshire, Nashua, New Hampshire. And you live up in New Hampshire, right? Are you in
myself,
Mass?
Me? No, I'm in Framingham, Mass.
Are you in Mass? Okay, maybe it was Jesse that was in New Hampshire, but
I think so. Yeah.
I was writing in for the Londonderry Times, Londonderry, New Hampshire.
Yep.
I lived in Nashua. Like most papers, they had some issues. They went under. It was a weekly paper. So what am I going to do? I'm sitting here at 22 years old in a lease in a state I've never lived in before. And so I started selling cars. And I was selling cars for 4 years, something like that. Got sucked into the car business. Got all the way up to floor manager. I was a shark.
Did you like
I was heartless.
I have a good buddy who sold cars and hated it. But made a lot of money doing it. But was really good, but hated it.
I died a little inside. I love
that's kind of how he described it.
Yeah, I loved the money, don't get me wrong, but I wasn't as loyal to it as I am to radio, and I'll tell you why. I moved back home and I'm selling cars, and there was the local affiliate I'm at did a show from our dealership every Monday. And so I'm sitting there hustling a car deal, trying to screw somebody financially for the next 7 years of their life.
Right. That's what he described as, yeah.
Yeah, and 10 feet behind me. They're doing what I went to school for, and I can hear it. And I'm like,
burned you
oh
up a bit.
God, yeah. So that day, I left. I was like, you know what? Why am I doing this? Yeah, the money's good, and yeah, I realize that the money's gonna suck for a while. But what am I doing? You know, why am I doing this when I technically feel that like I'm better than they are? Sorry,
sure.
Guys, if you're listening, but why are they doing it and I'm not? You know, so.
Yep.
Went to Connecticut School of Broadcasting, and the cool thing about it – they're getting free advertising right now, actually. But the cool thing about it is that they are you learn from business industry professionals. Like when you go, like Brianna, for instance, you know, your professors at school, they went to school and got their PhD and got their doctorate to become professors to teach you out of a book. Okay. They became professors to teach you that. What they do at Connecticut School of Broadcasting is they're actually in the field. So I had guys who were working at ESPN that morning, came over to teach a class, and then went back to work at ESPN. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're actually in the business, and they just do that class just for the heck of it.
That's what the I'm transferring to Sacred Heart in the fall, and that's what their communications program just got completely rebuilt, brand new building and everything, and that's what a lot of the professors are doing. They're coming up from NBC Sports in Stanford.
Oh, there
right
you go.
After
okay, yeah.
Their work day. So, I mean,
Sacred Heart's a beautiful campus.
Oh my God, I know. I'm so excited about that. But just
where
the fact
you at
that
now?
It's not just. I'm at Western Connecticut.
That's not in Newington, is it?
No,
no, that's
it's
Central
in
Connecticut. It's in Newington. Danbury, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But like, there's not even a journalism major here, so I'm kind of here, you know, just getting my basics out of the way. But you know,
I hear you.
I
well,
guess
I talked
not,
a little bit.
Not wasting my time, but. You know, whatever.
Yeah, I hear you. Hey, you know, so what are you, a sophomore? And then you'll be junior, senior transferring?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Hey, that's what a lot of students do. We do have to get into some sports, though. Hour 17 left to go here on a – well, if you're listening to overtime.news on the internet, it's a commercial free. But obviously, if you're listening here, it'll be a commercial show. But looking at the NBA here, we promised you we will get into some sports. We'll talk a little bit more about degrees and stuff in the closing banter, but – the Eastern Conference, guys, it gets dogged on a lot. A lot of people are saying that the Western Conference is the way to go. It's the stronger conference. You know, you've got the Spurs. You've got Golden State. You've got these schools out there. Schools. See, I'm still in college mode. You got these teams out there. Yeah, jeez. And so, but seeing the way that the Eastern Conference playoffs have sort of played out, I mean, two game sevens, exciting games. The Raptors-Pacers series, even if you don't like those two teams, kept you on the edge of your seat. Obviously, you know, unfortunately, our Celtics didn't get the job done, but they were exciting games. The Cleveland game last night. And then you're looking at the Spurs game, beating Oklahoma City by 60 or whatever they beat them by. You're looking at the Houston just didn't even show up for that series. You know, and you're looking at – there's a lot of blowouts in the Western Conference. So I'm sitting here thinking – maybe – the East is actually deeper than the West. I mean, maybe the West is a little bit more top-heavy. The West has better teams, better first three, perhaps. But maybe the East is a little bit stronger all the way through, those middle-of-the-road teams. And I'll let you guys debate it. We'll let ladies go first. I know you root for an Eastern Conference team, but Brianna, do you think that perhaps the Eastern Conference is more built to last and perhaps things are maybe trending to the competitiveness of the NBA to the East instead of to the West, and maybe we should be talking more about the Eastern Conference?
Yeah, actually. I think when people talk about the West, the only really teams that pop into your mind as of right now and maybe for the past couple of years have been OKC, San Antonio, and then now Golden State. But, I mean, other than that, the Lakers suck, and we've seen that this season.
The Clippers are a dumpster fire. Yeah, the Clippers are a dumpster fire. They can't get their act together. You know, but I'm looking at the Western Conference. Dallas is meh, you know. I mean, I'm looking at some of these teams, and it's like, yeah, okay, I understand. You've got Golden State's great, but who else? You got Golden State, San Antonio, but you've got like five or six teams that could potentially come – well, not anymore because they've narrowed it down, but could potentially come out of the East.
Yeah. I mean, Miami and Cleveland are obviously the top two, in my book at least. But like we said last Sunday, the Celtics are coming up, and give it a couple years, and they're going to be a team to beat. And the same thing, I think at least, the same thing with Toronto. I thought they played a great series. And, I mean, they're young. The thing about the East is that they're mainly a young division. And give it maybe a year, 2 years. And they're going to give the West a run for their money when it comes to the finals. And it's not going to be, oh, well, you know, the Western teams are just going to kick everybody's asses as soon as they meet them. I honestly think that the East can become that conference where you think, okay, well, who really can beat each other? Who really can stop each other? Because it's so deep and they're so good that you never really know.
Well, people called me crazy because I said last year that had Cleveland been healthy – and not had Kyrie down, Kevin Love down, guys like that, they could have given Golden State a run. I mean, those games were close. They were competitive. You know, and everyone's like, oh, no, Golden State would have beat him regardless. Maybe they would have, but the games would have been a little closer, you know. But Joe, what is the Eastern Conference? I mean, does Brianna have a point here, or is the West still the cream of the crop?
The West is still the cream of the crop. You know, Brianna is right about the youth in the East, and I think a few years down, I'm looking at it as two different questions right here. Who's on top right now? And who's going to be on top in 3 to 5 years? I agree with Brianna. A few years down the road, the East may be in ascendancy as we speak. And if several years down the road, we may see the East be dominant with teams like the Celtics, the Heat, the Celtics, the Raptors, Cleveland, as long as LeBron's there. But let's look at the bottom tier of the two conferences, the bottom tier of the playoff teams, the bottom four. Of the two playoff brackets, right? So we've got Detroit in the East. We've got Chicago. We've got Indiana. Who else made it? You know, Charlotte. Those teams, yes. They're competitive. They're young talent. And what you saw in the playoffs with the Game 7s and the really competitive, hard-fought games and series – I don't think it's necessarily a reflection or an indication that the East is better than the West. I think it's an indication of the East being young and hungry and competitive and on the ascendancy. Mm-hmm. But the West right now, yep, it's damn top heavy. But when I look at the West, I see Golden State, I see San Antonio. Those are the two teams that I don't think anyone in the East could beat in a 7-game series. I don't care. Cleveland fully manned. But below OKC, and I still count the Clippers if they're fully manned. Okay, I count those four teams as can win it next year. Let's say this year or next year.
You lose two starters. I mean, they lost Blake Griffin and CP3. The Clippers did so. Maybe. But no, I mean, you make a point, Joe. I mean, I'm looking at this here, and I see an awful lot of blowouts in the West. And, you know, you don't see – I mean, other than last night, the crazy finish in San Antonio last night, which should have been a foul.
Got robbed, yeah.
Yeah, should have been a foul, but also should have been a smarter play from San Antonio. I mean, Manu Ginobili should have taken that hook shot and taken the foul instead of trying to pass that out. But
that's
regardless,
right.
trying to be unselfish, that's sort of what they preach there. But I'm looking at, you know, some of these games. Obviously, the Heat beat the Hornets, so the Heat move on. Raptors-Pacers was kind of close for most of that series. Obviously Cavaliers Hawks was close, but I'm looking at this and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, like, okay, the East isn't blowing teams out. Like the top teams aren't blowing teams out. Every game is competitive, but from a basketball standpoint, from a game watcher standpoint, unless you're a fan of that team, do you really want to see a 30-point victory, or do you want to see a game that's tight down to the wire? You know,
the East is the more exciting conference. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah, like that San Antonio game, the first game, I turned it off in the first quarter. I mean, they're up. Klay Thompson single-handedly outscored the Blazers game, for instance. Single-handedly outscored the Blazers in the first quarter himself.
Yeah, they're going to smoke the Blazers.
The Blazers did give Golden State the most lopsided loss of the season in the regular season. But the playoffs
really?
Are a different animal. They did. Yeah, they beat them by like 25. Mm. But that's the thing, though. You know, it's a different animal when it comes to playoffs. I mean, teams always turn it up. The Raptors now have moved on for the first time since 2001 when they beat the Knicks, the first time they won a playoff series. Celtics are still waiting. They haven't won a playoff series since the Big Three was there. So they're, you know, so we're waiting on a couple of teams. Brianna made a point about the ascending East. Honestly, I feel like I don't think any team is beating Golden State in a 7-game series because they've only lost, 9 times all season. So, I mean, do you really think that the team is going to beat them 4 times out of 7? But, you know, you never know. I mean, the Spurs are built to do it. What were you saying?
You think the Spurs – what do you think? Spurs, Golden State in the West Finals. You're taking Golden State?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really? That easily, I mean, huh? Interesting.
Maybe.
I look at it as a tough series, man.
It's a tough series, I think, but – you know, you look at what happened at the end of the season when, you know, San Antonio had a chance to stop the record and they didn't. They actually lost by double digits. And so I'm like, you know, they just haven't gotten the job done when they needed to. And, you know, this Golden State team can just – they just pack on the points, man. I mean, they had 100 points in the third quarter yesterday. So I'm just – I don't know. It's definitely possible, I suppose. But, you know,
wow,
like
okay.
you look at the Spurs-Thunder game one, 124-92. Then yesterday they had their close game. But the Trailblazers-Warriors, the 118-106 game was – that's false advertising. Golden State was actually – up for more than that for a majority of that game. The Blazers, yeah, I like the team, but they're one guy. They're Damian Lillard. That's it. So they're basically a one-man team. Golden State just – put it this way. Golden State has Harrison Barnes, right? Number one overall recruit going into UNC. All-American was one of those guys. He was I don't think he was the number one overall, but he was a top pick in the draft. And like I said, he was the number one overall college recruit when he went in that year. He's coming off the bench. You know, so it's like
they're just
so deep.
They're loaded.
That,
they're
just absolutely loaded. But speaking of that, though, I don't know. Keep going. I'll let you make your point quick.
Well, I think what you see is on Satellite Sundays, we were talking about parity. I think you're seeing parity in the East, whereas in the West, you're seeing more of a division between the really good, great elite teams and then the other teams. Whereas in the East, it's more wide open. So I think that's where you're getting more competitive games. And again, the youth. So to sum it all up, just my thought, you know, East, young, competitive. In the future, near future, East will be good, but the West is still the king right now. And yeah, I think what you're seeing is parity in the East. And those blowouts are a little hard to explain, though, between amongst those top-heavy teams. You know, the Thunder getting smoked the other night. Kind of inexplicable. So,
but I think,
you know,
I think the Thunder showed you what kind of team they actually are last night, though. You know, I think they actually showed you that they're not that team that lost in the first game, because everyone's, you know, because you know what the headlines say, oh, blow the team up and Durant doesn't want to be there anymore and, you know, Westbrook and this and that. And then they came out and proved, well, wait a minute, maybe we're not just a pushover team. Maybe we do have a chance to play with the big dogs, because they've sort of been the third, maybe fourth team talked about in that conference for a while. But Brianna, let me go into this for a second. Do you think that if the Cavaliers don't win the title or at least get to the championship game this season, LeBron's gone again?
I don't know. Part of me says yes, just because that's what he's done in the past, and he's shown that he wants – we all know he wants to win, but I don't think he wants to win anywhere specific. So I honestly feel like he'll go anywhere he can to win, whether, you know – there is a championship in the future there or not. If he in his mind thinks that if he goes there, he'll make this team better to win, then I think he'll go. But at the same time, he's getting old, not like crazy old, but he's played himself out. His body is starting to do the same thing that we saw with Kobe this season. And he said that he was happy to come back to Cleveland. He made this whole big deal about him coming home, if you want to call it that. But I feel like if they don't make it to at least the Eastern Conference Finals, he's going to have to do a lot of thinking and say, do I really want to be that guy who just bounces back and forth from place to place looking for a championship, or do I want to be a solid teammate, a solid role model to the kids of the city of Cleveland, you know, somebody that the city wants to love? And do I want to stay here and do what I can to help them win? I mean, it depends on what he wants to do, but I personally don't think he'd stay.
Well, you know, it's tough to tell. It's tough to tell because, like I said, he did make that big, you know, I'm coming home speech and all that. And, you know, I want to win it here. I want to win it for the city. But Cleveland is where careers go to die. And that's not just basketball. That's overall. I mean, you look at the Indians, what happened with them with the Marlins series, which I still can't believe. That was a long time ago. The Browns are obviously a train wreck. So, you know, you look at this city, and yeah, you'd feel great for them, but it's tough to get free agents to go there, because people don't, just like they were saying, people don't want to play with Kobe. People don't want to play with LeBron, because LeBron basically thinks he's the coach. And so it's tough to get free agents in there. Kyrie Irving's already had a little bit of a beef with him. Kevin Love, LeBron basically had to get on his knees and beg Kevin Love to stay. So, I don't know exactly what LeBron's thought process is, but I know that, you know, he's getting all those Jordan comparisons, which is asinine. They're totally different kinds of players. They're two totally different styles. But he's getting all those those Jordan comparisons. Jordan was 6% in the finals. LeBron is what, 2-3, 2-4, something like that, 2-5, something like that, something crazy. If he goes, I believe this will be what, the sixth year in a row if he does go though. So it's something like LeBron James has been in it. He just hasn't been able to win it, and maybe it's the team that's been around him. Who knows?
I think it's him. But sorry,
you think so? Well, you look at those Miami Heat teams that he won it with, and the '96 Bulls team that everyone talks about. Those Jordan teams, and I've said this left and right to those Jordan supporters, hate this, but Jordan didn't do it himself. I mean, Jordan had Pippen, he had Steve Scott, Kerr,
sure.
Scottie, Horace Grant,
Horace
Bo
Grant,
Outlaw,
yeah.
Dennis Rodman. Yeah, I mean, he had he just had Rock Cartwright. I mean, he had guys that were top-tier players around him. Who did
but
LeBron
he got the
have?
Best
Chris
out
Bosh?
Of those guys, too. Doesn't get
he
the best
did.
Out of his guys.
Well, LeBron, when LeBron,
Kyrie and Kevin Love.
Well, LeBron wanted that sort of dynamic when he went to Miami, and you're looking at the big three with Dwayne Wade, who was already old, and in my opinion, on the tail end of his career when LeBron went there. Then you had Chris Bosh, who I'm not sold on. Everyone loves Chris Bosh. He might be a great guy. I'm not sold on Bosh. But we're talking a little bit about Steve Kerr. Okay, and we're gonna transition this. We got MLB coming up after the break, but you had strong words, Joe, about Luke Walton and the Lakers.
Sure did.
We didn't get Brianna's take on Sunday, and that's sort of why I added it to the show topic today. Brianna, we saw what Brad Stevens was able to do as a young upcoming coach, having some success in the mid-major division, bringing Butler, basically putting Butler on the map, and then leaving Butler to take that Celtics job. And you've seen the Celtics have been the Celtics went from, I remember a couple of years ago, the Celtics were the worst team. I mean, they were just abysmal. They were. I think they were like a single digit win team at 1 year. So they were just bad. Brad Stevens came together, sort of rallied Boston together, brought them back in the playoffs. Do you think Luke Walton can possibly do that with the Lakers, or is this team just too far gone at this point?
I like Luke Walton. Even though I don't like the Lakers, typical Boston fan, the Lakers are enemy number one. I like him, and I think with the players' cooperation, you know, if everybody loses their superstar attitudes and comes together and says,
what,
you
know, superstars?
Well, exactly. They're not superstars, but they have the attitudes that they are because they're getting paid to play. I think because he's young as well. Even though he's retired, he's still, what, like 30, 39, something like that?
Six.
Luke Walton.
Walton, 36.
Walton, yeah, 36. Brad Stevens is 39.
He's still I knew one of them was 39. He's still on the younger side, so he can, you know, connect with these guys and understand why they're playing the way they are and how to maybe get them to mesh better as a unit. And I think that's what Brad Stevens has done up in Boston, because once he got there, I think he kind of was the one who told Rondo that, you know what, we're not taking any more of your crap, because Rondo did have an attitude, and it was obvious to see after the big three left. And I think the only reason why you really didn't see it as much with the big three there is because they kind of kept him in line.
And then
Rondo was kind of a jerk, though. That's what I've heard.
Yeah.
You
could tell. You could tell once it was just him, once everybody left, and once it was just Rondo, you could tell that he was not the guy that you thought he was when Paul Pierce and Ray Allen and Kevin Garnett were still there. But
Do you think we see a Phil Jackson return?
Oh, God, no.
Oh, no, I don't think so.
I hope
not. Because
that means he'll get good.
Well, maybe. I mean, Luke Walton said, I'm not running the triangle. I'm not doing this. I'm not, you know. I'm running this team the way I want to run it. But Phil Jackson's miserable in New York. I mean, it's a failed experiment in the Knicks right now. His wife's on his case about moving back out to Montana. You know, Kupchak and Buss and all them want that team to be back up top again, I wouldn't be surprised if they throw a whole – they just clean house and throw a whole boatload of money at Jackson to come back, which not even to coach, just to run it like he's running the Knicks. But, again, look what he did with the Knicks. And the Knicks, in my opinion, have more talent right now than the Lakers do. So, you know, so who knows? Jackson's stubborn. He wants that triangle offense. We'll get into some picks and things of who we think is going to win in the next round. But we got some MLB coming up. It's Satellite – well, I'm on Satellite Sundays. Good Lord. It's Sports Roundup, which is a new show, which some people may not be familiar with. Brianna's here. Joe's here. Pierre and Danker and McSwiggin, we will be back. We're listening to MLB after this. So the MLB, it's dire straits in New York right now. We talked a little bit about, you know, you guys are Red Sox fans. I, living in New York now, am obviously a Yankee fan. That's unfortunate for this season. What is going on with the New York Yankees right now? I mean, this team is on pace to win 60 games. This is not the Yankee team of old. And I'll go back and I'll watch clips. And I'll watch clips of the old Yankee Stadium back when somebody who wore a Red Sox – they used to have the bleachers right on the field. And I don't know if you've been to the old Yankee Stadium, but anybody who wore – and Brianna wasn't even really old enough to know what sports was when the old Yankee Stadium was really popping. But the old Yankee Stadium, the bleachers right on the field, if you wore Boston stuff, you got harassed. I mean, you weren't physically assaulted, but they used to chant at you. They used to say things. They used to – you know, they used to sell the Buck Faustin T-shirts, which I thought was kind of funny. You know, and it used to be a big rivalry. It was really kind of a one-sided rivalry until the Red Sox started to win. I think that 0-3 down game when they came back in 0-4 really sort of put the rivalry more on the map. But you're looking at this Yankees team. That 98 Yankees team was probably the best team in history. And then, you know, 99 – great. You know, they started making the playoffs again in 2000, but losing in the first round. They lost in 0-1, I believe, to the Marlins, 0-3 to the Diamondbacks. They started losing in World Series games. Then they didn't do anything until 0-9 when they beat the Phillies. Now this Yankee team, looking at them, I think – I got to look at the stats, but I think the least amount of team in the league. But you know, what is going on? I know you're a Red Sox fan, so you probably don't really follow the Yankees or don't like the Yankees. What is going on with this Yankee team right now at 8-15 or whatever they are?
Let me tell you, Chris, a couple of things. One, back at the old Yankee Stadium, I was one of those Red Sox fans wearing a Red Sox cap up in, I don't know what section, somewhere high up along the third base line, and I got tormented verbally. All I heard from this one guy for about six innings until they kicked him out was 1918. Over and over again. He just chanted 1918 at me and my buddies for inning upon inning. So yeah, that was back, that was in the mid to late 90s when the Yankees were in their dynasty and the Red Sox were still hadn't won one. So obviously with the 1918 chant, but the current version of the Yankees, I think, now I posted about it yesterday, and us being Red Sox fans, Brianna and myself, we saw the Yankees here for three games over the weekend. So we've got, at least for the early part of the season, that's what we're talking about, we've got a snapshot of what these Yankees are. And if you read my post yesterday, I did check that it's well written. Thank you. It's age. They are a bloated corpse right now, man. This is what you're seeing from a few years of bringing in high-priced talent that's not in the prime of their career or at the peak of their career and on the way down, like Jacoby Ellsbury. When they signed him from Boston, was it three or four years ago from Boston, he was probably at the peak of his powers and not so much anymore. He's declining. His game is based on ages. You're going to see less and less production out of him, and I think you are seeing that. And injuries are taking the toll on Ellsbury as well. You also have A-Rod, who's 40, and he can still crack the ball when he makes contact, but watching him run around the bases after a home run was like watching a big fumble around the bases. Like he can't move anymore. A-Rod is ancient and decaying. And Carlos Beltran out in right field, not center field anymore. He's a right fielder. He cannot cut. He used to be he's won gold gloves. He used to be a tremendous field. He's 39. He can't cover the territory anymore. You got Mark Teixeira, who's 36. They're all making north of $20 million, these guys. So they're getting paid a ton of money. And as rich as the Yankees are, every organization has a budget, okay? The Yankees' budget may be up here, and I'm pointing very high, but that is a budget. And with their payroll at $228 million, and I forget the exact number, but $157 million or something, 70% of their payroll is being spent on guys 32 or older, or 30 or older. And you're seeing an old team, a talented team, but old. So what you get with talent, but old talent, is a high salary and lack of production, less production. So that's what you see with the Yankees, man, is they spend their money on it doesn't look like they've invested in the farm system. We're not seeing young talent come up. Now, I'm talking strictly about the lineup. The pitching staff is something else, but strictly about the on-field lineup. You're not seeing any youth like you are with the Red Sox. You're not seeing a kid, 23-year-old kids like Mookie Betts and Xander Bogaerts, still on their rookie deals, making less than $1 million a year and putting out production, playing 155 games, 160 games a season, batting 321, and Mookie Betts is going to probably make a peep for the MVP. He's that kind of talent this year. You don't see any of that in the Yankees. What you see is high-priced, old talent, and the 8-15 record is what you get when you have that situation. It's just age and too much money put towards that age right now. They've got to wash through these contracts, cycle through these contracts, get them out. They've got to get the farm system up, and they've got to get out of the habit of paying for talent, overpaying for talent that isn't going to produce that way for the next 5 to 10 years. Stop paying for past performance is what I'm saying with the Yankees. And I think that Brian Cashman is a smart GM. Like I said in my article, they're too rich and too proud for this to go on for too long. So I don't think it may even happen this season. I don't see the Yankees winning just 60 games. I'd be shocked if they finished last place just because of the ability of money to buy smarts, intelligence, wisdom, talent. Somewhere down the road this season, the Yankees will make a move. I don't think they'll finish. They'll be better. They won't be this bad. But what you're seeing right now is accumulation of everything I just said.
Well, Joe makes a point here. I think that the Yankees are a team, like you said, too proud. They don't want to rebuild. The Yankees believe in rebuilding. You see a lot of these teams that are young talent, they call up their farm system players, and they do a couple of rebuilding years. And I don't think the Yankees want to do that. I don't think the Yankees feel, oh, well, we're the Yankees. We're not going to rebuild. We have this, you know, tradition of excellence with 27 world championships, which is double what the next closest team has. So, I don't know exactly what it is. Just know that something has to happen. The Red Sox have recently taken first place, and so the Yankees are now sitting at 8-15. They're 5-7 at home, 3-8 on the road, 3-7 in their last 10. And, you know, you look at the Red Sox, they're totally different. They're 8-7 at home, 7-3 on the road, 8-2 in their last 10. So, and, you know, and a lot of people came thinking, well, Kung Fu Panda and you know, the Red Sox – again, this is a Red Sox team that's poor to go. But Brianna, do you think Joe has a point here? What's going on with this New York team? And yes, I'm going to make Red Sox fans talk about New York. It happens.
I agree. I think they're too proud to admit that, you know, things are not going as well as they should be and as they have been over the years. And I don't really think that they want to rebuild. I think they think that they have everything they need here, they just need time to work at it, which really isn't the case. I mean, you've seen the Red Sox last year was horrible, to say the least. But they, you know, did what they had to do to make sure that this season would not be the same. And I wouldn't call it a rebuilding year, but it was a working year. I mean, there's a kid from my hometown pitching up there right now, which is something unreal. Never down in Bethel, Matt Barnes. He's from my town.
Bethel, okay. Connecticut?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I didn't know if you were Connecticut, Mass. I didn't know where you exactly lived, but okay.
No, down in Connecticut. But the thing is I'm so close to the New York border that all I have here is Yankee fans, and all I hear, no matter where I go, is about, you know, oh well, the Yanks got to do this, the Yanks got to do that, and I'm thinking, what can I do? I'm a girl who can't say anything to these old guys because what'll they do? And I'm a girl who's a Red Sox fan, so that just makes it 10 times worse for me.
Yeah, that's a tough barroom conversation to have, yeah.
And I think to myself, I was like, okay, well, they really don't need to do that. What they need to do is they need to bring in some young kids who are ready to work and ready to be proud to be Yankees, and as much as this hurts me to say, be a Yankee and know what it means to be a Yankee, know what it means to be a good team that ran the league for however many years. I mean, my dad told me
30 years or so.
I was born in 96, and he told me stories about how great, you know, those seasons were after that. The late 90s, he said that they were great, that, you know, that team worked
best team
so
ever.
Well together. And,
125 and 59 in 98.
Great teams, model teams, fantastic teams. And they were built from their farm systems, FYI.
Exactly.
But you know, I think the old man would have had heads rolling a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he would have allowed it to get to this point. But real quick, I do have something special to play for you guys. Instead of going on commercial break, I do have a special thing to play since the Red Sox took first place. And I'm probably going to get a lot of crap for this tomorrow when I walk in the office because it's a very Boston-oriented song. And I think it's funny that Brianna talks about Connecticut. Connecticut's like split in half. You go north of Hartford, it's all Boston sports. You go south of Hartford, and a lot of it is New York stuff. But
it's all New York stuff down here.
All New York.
I'm sorry, Brianna. I'm so sorry.
Now, do you think baseball's boring? Put it this way. Baseball's a five-hour game, okay? We've seen in this country sex sells. Now, no offense, Brianna, but, you know, everyone talks about the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders, okay?
Right.
People get the cheerleader calendars. You go to any dorm room in the country, and they're going to have some sort of a male dorm room anyway, going to have, you know, some sort of a Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition model, or they're going to have, you know, the cheerleaders of a certain team, or they're going to have this and that. Do you think baseball should put something in like cheerleaders or beer girls or something to get sort of those ratings back and get people there? Because I'm watching every baseball game other than Fenway, which I'll give you guys credit. You pack that place. But every baseball game I watch on TV, I count more empty seats than I do heads in the stadium.
Dude,
and,
I was
watching
Pittsburgh, Chicago yesterday. There was no one in the stands in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah,
they're a good team. They've been competitive
the
now. There's no one coming out.
Well, they're second place right now. But, yeah, they're a playoff team. And so, I mean, I don't know if maybe they should bring beer girls or have the vendors be, you know, women in short, you know, V-cut things and, you know, whatever. Or what they should do, or maybe, you know how sometimes Kansas City last year had those girls that were on top of the bullpen that were dancing and stuff? Do that. Or something on television. I don't necessarily say cheerleaders per se, but something. Because really what baseball has been trying to do is get more attractive female analysts to try to get people to watch. But that's not necessarily
going
to do
so
it.
Far. Yeah.
Exactly. I think maybe they should do some sort of I don't want to say cheer squad, perhaps, but you know what I mean here. Like, I went to the Dallas Cowboy game, back the final game in the old stadium, and yes, unfortunately, I'm a Cowboy fan, and they had the Jack Daniels girls out there, and these girls, you want to talk about Hooters girls being hot, these girls were, oh my God, now maybe it's Texas, I don't know, but, and people were lined up, there were guys in line that didn't even drink Jack Daniels that were standing in line getting Jack Daniels shots and not even taking the shot, just talking to the girl. Oh, hey, you know, they forget their name when these girls give them the shot, you know? And it's one of those things where maybe that would help with baseball. Just instead of having these vendors, put it this way, have all of your vendors, your hot dog vendors or your pretzel and beer vendors, just have them be attractive women, you know? And then you'll get a lot more people into the stadium. They might not watch the game, but they'll sell tickets, you know?
Well,
so
you know,
put it that way.
You know what? You're right. Sex sells. But here's the thing. It would have to be – I can't see Major League Baseball setting a team a league-wide policy of your vendors have to be attractive women. In fact, that would be illegal.
I'm not saying
it would have to be.
I'm saying teams should just do it. They shouldn't make it a rule.
And you're right. I think teams probably should look into doing something like that. Full-blown cheerleaders on the field, Major League Baseball would probably collapse and crumble under its own tradition if that were actually to happen. I would like to see it. You're right, sex sells. I'm a red-blooded American. Yeah, I'm all for putting pretty girls in front of the camera. Whatever
exactly
works, that's fine.
Why
with
not?
Me. But I'm not so sure that that's – first of all, it's a little incongruous with – if that's the word – with
big word,
baseball.
Yeah, wow.
Thank you. It's not consistent with what baseball is. So I think in order – and that's part of the problem because baseball is so tradition bound, that they're resistant to change and they're falling behind the times because of it. But what makes the other sports, what's the greatest sport in America? Football, American football, right? Okay. Gets all the ratings, gets everything. It's
The revenue sport. Yes.
Right. So it is the, let's say it's the model. Okay. So what about the NFL? What about that game? What about that sport? What about that presentation or that production keeps the viewer involved? I believe it's the fast pace. Now, yeah, people complain about football, how it's broken up every, 30 seconds, new play. No, it's a fast-paced, exciting game, okay? NBA, exciting game. People bitch about how, you don't really have to tune in until the end of the fourth quarter. Now, if you're a basketball fan, if you like sports and you watch basketball, that's great athletes playing a sport at the highest level. It's entertainment from the first tip-off, okay? Hockey, that's another matter altogether, but that's a exciting-ass sport as well. Now, baseball is not. It's not a fast-moving game. It's not necessarily an exciting game, okay, in and of itself. So you can't – and we're not going to change the game. That's not what anybody's going to do, okay? Baseball is not going to change. So the game itself, it's a slow-paced thinking game. That's not going to change. But what you can change about the game is how quickly some things occur. For instance – I believe that one simple solution would have a dramatic effect on the time length of the games and the viewer attention span, a pitch clock. Implement a pitch clock, much like the shot clock was implemented, but back in the 60s in the NBA, put in a pitch clock. That's it. That's going to speed up the pitcher, which is naturally going to speed up the batters. And if the make it 30 seconds, and if he violates it, it's a ball. You know, I'd say the guy he has.
Can we have a hot girl work the pitch clock?
We solved it.
Boom.
We've just solved MLB's problems. Have a hot girl work the pitch clock, and ratings will soar. Games will be under
hours.
Have ring girls.
Have like ring girls. You know how they walk across in boxing? Have them have a sign, be like 30 seconds, and just walk across the diamond. You know, something like that.
Oh, dude, they gotta hire you. You got the ideas.
What about the Bruins? The Bruins have the Bruins girls that throw.
They do
T-shirts and stuff, and they're pretty good.
Yep.
I guarantee you, people wouldn't care about those T-shirts if it was some guy with a beer belly and a plaid shirt shooting the T-shirts. They shoot them there because guys want T-shirts because it's women that look good that are shooting the T-shirts. They don't even want the T-shirt; they just want to catch it because they want to go home and be like, dude, I'm gonna try my worst Boston accent here, but it's like, go get the car. Some hot chick just shot a T-shirt. You know what I'm saying? So it's like,
from Harvard, because I got a T-shirt.
So go park the car. Well, no, listen. I lived in New Hampshire. I lived in New Hampshire for a long time. And, Well, that's the thing. I sort of have that hybrid. I have the Long Island thing, but I also have the everyone around here asked me if I'm from New England because I sort of have – I picked up – I didn't go as far as
you people do.
A little bit, but I didn't go as far as you people go with the whole – when I was selling cars and I got back here, I was like, this car is great. It's got power folding mirrors. And they're like, what? I'm like, the mirrors. I'm like, mirrors. I'm sorry. We pronounce our R's in New York. I forgot about that. So that's what – that's – so I would catch myself a lot of the time. But anyway, off topic, I think basically women in sports – I think it's such a shame that women's sports sort of take a little bit of a backseat to men's sports when there's some exciting women's sports. I mean, I'm not saying the WNBA,
soccer.
Like I was watching, soccer. Yeah. When the women's national team is great, if you like soccer, yesterday I was sitting on my couch watching, women's softball.
Yep.
Yeah. And why is women's softball so much more exciting than an MLB game? And it's not because the women are good looking. A lot of them are, mm-hmm. but it's not that. It's just a faster, maybe you have a point. It's a faster paced game.
It is.
It's they're flying all over the field. They're making crazy diving catches. They're hustling. They're doing all this. I would rather watch a women's college softball game than I would right now watch a Yankee game. Partially because they suck, but also because it's just a slow. I have to take 4.5 hours out of my day to watch a baseball game.
Really?
Women's college softball game's over in 2 hours. I can watch it like a football game.
And there's 162 of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that's
a lot
of time investment if you're going to be a baseball fan. You know, so something's got to change. You're right.
It's, It's crazy, but you know, and that's why I'm sort of thinking, you know, sex sells. Do something, you know, have something happen. Even if you had, I know some teams have ball girls, you know, that sit there. I think a cheerleader would be dangerous in a baseball field. Foul balls, you hit a girl in the head, something that wouldn't be cool. But even the ball girls, have them, you know, something.
They don't have to be wearing pants in a uniform. Is that what you're telling me? Because the ball girls make it pretty, but
no.
It's hard to tell. Because they're in uniform.
And this is an awkward conversation to have Brianna on the line, but I think she can handle
slightly.
It. I think that it's one of those things where put them in, I'm not saying put them in a bikini, but put them in, you know, shorts, practice shorts or something. Put them in like, something or a V-cut shirt or anything to and then have the camera go to them every foul ball or something. Or have the,
right.
every time they throw it back to the pitcher, just show it. You'll get these old guys, oh, look at this, you know. Because, yes, baseball is a traditional game. It's the American pastime, blah, blah, blah. But it's losing ratings. I mean, people in my generation and even generations before mine, which are Brianna's generation, unless you're a diehard sports fan or a baseball fan, you're not watching baseball. You're waiting for football season. You're waiting for hockey. You're waiting for basketball. Baseball's got the lowest ratings of any major American sport, and that's TV watching-wise. And, you know, they've been trying to change the game a little bit. They've been trying to have a little bit more swag in baseball. You look at what Bryce Harper's doing and things like that. So, you know, it's possible, but why not? I mean, give it a shot. It's 2016. People want – I mean, we're in the Vine, Instagram, you know, era. Why not put, you know, advertisements for games up there? Why not have, you know, instead of showing – I was watching a Tampa Bay Rays game, and they were making fun of these girls. They had to be – in their teens, 16, something like that, sitting in the crowd taking selfies on their phone.
Throw it at.
Why not? Yeah, well, no, nothing. I'm just saying, why not show more of that?
Right.
But you know, when there's two girls sitting there in an empty section taking selfies, obviously bored with the game, why not have selfie girls? You know, why not have girls that – you know, let's say the Yankees probably wouldn't do this because the Yankees are about tradition and blah, blah, blah. But why not have, you know, selfie girls to be like, Yankee Stadium, hi, and they take a selfie. And then the Yankees put it up on their website and they've got, you know, a low-cut Yankee jersey on, the one that's made for women. And they you know, take a photo and, you know, they take the selfie and they put it up on the website. Hey, come support
that's
the Yankees.
Idea.
We'll be here. We'll, you know, be like, hey, we'll be here. Will you? That kind of a thing. And
right.
I think that will sell some tickets because guys are generally, and I think Brianna might agree with this, guys are pigs generally, and guys will go to a game because a hot woman told them to go to the game, not because
and
they
we
actually
will
want
tune
to go
in.
To the game.
We will tune
yeah.
in
yeah.
to see pretty girls at a game. We will. I've done it.
Exactly.
I've done it subconsciously. No, not even. Is it subconscious when you think, oh, I'm going to see such and such, you know? I do it just as I do it the same, you know? So why not?
Do it.
Why not?
You could watch. Okay, if you had – an attractive woman, and you had a you know like a Hooters girl type woman, tell you, you know, take a selfie and put it up on the website and say, hey, watch the PBA bowling championships. I'm gonna be there. We'd watch bowling. Okay,
we probably
that's
would.
What we would do. So it that's just how it works. So I think baseball needs to do something, and if they have to lower themselves to that level to sell tickets and get ratings, by all means, it's a business. Okay, I mean, you're losing money. The Yankees payroll can buy four different organizations in general.
Right.
Baseball teams are losing money left and right. Real quick, though, I do have a song. We do got to go to break, but I do have a song for you guys, and we're going to finish with the Tom Brady segment. I know Brianna hasn't done much talking because I am very long-winded, and I'm used to having a show by myself. So, no, seriously, I'm used to having a show. I sit in front of a microphone, and I don't have a co-host. I'm used to having a show by myself, so I'm used to just talking for 3 hours or whatever it is. So just cut me off and tell me to shut up if it gets too much. But I do have a thing that I think will appeal to both of you and might get me in trouble tomorrow because we do carry the Yankees on this station, but whatever.
I'm looking forward to this.
Also, yeah, it's going to be great. And we're going to finish with the Tom Brady discussion because I know Brianna was sick over it. I know you were upset over it. I think the entire five states of New England were upset over it. We'll get to that in 1 second. First, just want to say call Teller's Mattress. I'm surprised I'm awake today because I have my Teller's Mattress. Great beds, lowest prices, warehouse prices for certified star beds. Again, it is Alan Teller, Teller's Mattress. Call 518-880-BEDS. It's the best thing you're going to spend, the best money you're going to spend in a long time. Make sure you know that. Yes, Alan, that's free advertising for you there, buddy. We've got MLB coming. Oh, excuse me. We just finished MLB. Real quick, let me ask you, though. Harper for MVP this year? Brianna?
He'll be up there. He'll be up there. I don't know if he'll win it, but I think he'll be one of the nominees.
Joe, MVP? Bryce Harper?
Absolutely has a chance. Yeah, I looked at his WAR. It's only 1.2 right now, but I don't expect that to last. So he finished with 9.9 last season, which was topped in the league. And, of course, he was the MVP in the NL last year. So, yeah, Bryce Harper's 23 years old, and this dude is mega talented, and he's much more of a outspoken, hopefully, future face of MLB than, let's say, a Mike Trout. So, yeah, I'm a big Bryce Harper fan. I like what he brings to the table on and off the field.
Brianna, you were making a point. We cut you off. I'm sorry about that.
Sorry about that.
He's another thing with the whole sex cells thing. I mean, I know I don't like the Nationals, but I'd watch a Nationals game just to watch him play. He's a good-looking guy.
There you go, right? I mean, why do you watch a movie? Like, well, honestly, I would watch a movie because Megan Fox was in it. Or actually, you know who I like? Mila Kunis. And I'm like, I watch Family Guy.
Yeah.
That's my favorite show. Because I'm like, oh, Mila Kunis, there's something about her voice. That's just what it is. Same thing with the other way with women. Oh, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio movie. You know why women watch Titanic. Do they really like the story? No, they like Leonardo DiCaprio. That's why. I mean, that's why women drag their boyfriends and make them sit through a 4.5-hour movie about a ship sinking because they want to watch Leonardo DiCaprio. That's what it is. So, and you can't tell me otherwise. All right, so we've got Tom Brady coming up after the break, and this is a very New England-heavy song. It's about 4 minutes, which is a general commercial break time. My buddies, the SSP, the Super Secret Project, they're from Manchester, New Hampshire, and they are a hip-hop group in Manchester, New Hampshire, very, very prideful. And it's called Title Town. It's about Boston. Check it out. If I don't have a job tomorrow, I'm sorry. Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, the Super Secret Project proudly presents Title Town.
Game day. I'm dressing and repping the same way. Turn a message for the event, need a blessing, a.k.a. I pray to my television. Got faith in high definition. In Massachusetts, it's no institution. This is religion. It's the same in the state of Maine. New Hampshire together with Vermont, Rhode Island, and like half of Connecticut. So let me get a stack, bring back a 30 rack from the packy. Cause my crew is suited up like they're about to run a track.
Red, white,
me.
Blue, and silver, blue, and green, white, and gold, and black.
Plus we light it up red.
Our
Hats of 103-04, Sucks of 4-07, Celtics in 2008, Lord Stanley's Cup in 11. We got the B's and the C's, Patriots and the Red Sox, racking up more titles than you find in a red box. So I'm dancing like Gino, cause we know all that we got. Hey, Revolution, you should kick it up a notch.
You can find me at Foxborough or Yankee Way, getting a citation for tailgating a cutaway. Seven titles, four sports, 10 years, write it down. We don't call it Boston now.
Captain Flag and Green Dragon, game on in the Force Pub. Boston Bar, School Sports, EEI in the Sports Pub. Got parades for days, you can say it went like Macy's. This place is in my heart till I'm departed, Scorsese. It's crazy, three game deficits are only an obstacle. Could marry Jaime, Rodney, cuz it's impossible.
You can find me at Foxborough or Yankee Way. I'm out there when it's freezing, I'm out there in a rain delay. Seven titles, four sports, 10 years, write it down.
Boston Sports represented. Let me start with Alan Auerbach, Ainge, and Andre Tippett. Brewski, Bork, Bledsoe, Busek, Kurtz, Bloody Sock. Kuzi, Carlton, Cappelletti, Dynasty, Doc.
Dennis and Dwight, that's Eckersley and Evans. Springcone and a Fenway equal to 4-07, Kevin. Garnett, Gillette, Grogan, the Gavin.
Hamill, Jack Stone!
Can't forget Tommy Heinsohn.
The idiot.
hits, ice bowl, impossible dream. Jacoby is why my mother watches the team. Casey Jones, Bob Kraft, Ken Moore stop on the team. Lucci Slaw, Lefty Grove, Lobel on BZ.
Every mascot knows most Kevin McHale or Millar. My favorite right wing Cam Neely, favorite shortstop Nomar.
Ortiz or Stillo, oil can Boyd or
Husky Petrucelli, Pedro Pizzu 04.
Bill Quackenbush was a defenseman for the Bruins.
Wow, way to kill it on cue.
He was tough, man. I'm sorry.
Carlos Quintana?
All right, can we just move on, please?
Move on.
Remdog Rondo, Weiss is our swinger. Russell's got my rings, then the dude has got fingers.
Shaughnessy, Sark Sweep, Antoine used to shimmy. Diddy, did you, when nothing gets past Kimmy. A bunch of, we're not underdogs anymore. Mo Vaughn, V-Tank, Adam Vinatieri, score.
Williams, Rush, Breakaway, Wakefield, and Wally. Extra innings, X-Man, Cy Young, Rocky. You can yes, and all the Red Sox nations. Zdeno Chara is as tall as the Zakem.
This is for the fans in the stands and the dream that they're after. Hey, it's just another banner hanging from a rafter.
So that is Title Town, the super secret project out of Manchester, New Hampshire. And so I had to play it for those of you who are listening up in New York. I do apologize. Very New England heavy theme. That was made in 2012, as you heard. He says Jacoby's the reason my mother watches the team. That's back when Jacoby still played for the Sox, the Sox, as you guys call them. But they it was interesting because if you watch the video. They have a shirt on that says Belichick for president, which I think is kind of funny because I think we'll get a little bit into your thoughts on the song as the closing banter here. We've got about 26 minutes left. We're doing 90 minutes. Maybe if the show takes off, we'll do 2 hours. But right now we've got about 90 minutes left. We'll spend about 20 minutes left, 26 minutes left. We'll spend about 20 of it on Tom Brady. We'll talk a little bit about some closing banter, what Brianna does, what she's studying. We'll get to know the co-hosts a little bit. But Brianna, you had mentioned you felt sick regarding Tom Brady and this whole thing that had happened. You were quite angry when the court overruled the decision and gave Roger Goodell what he wanted the whole time, and that is Brady serving his 4-game suspension. Brady has recently hired, I can't remember the dude's name, so I don't have the stat thing in front of me. But
something Olsen. Olsen.
Yeah,
he's
hiring a guy that has fought cases like this before and has won. But as of right now, Brady's still serving 4 games.
I don't think so. I think, well, maybe this is me being the biased Patriots fan that I am, but maybe. I don't really think this is going to have an effect on anything. I think if this doesn't go his way and if he is out for the first 4 games, I think Jimmy is good enough with the first 4 games of the season that he could go 3-1. I think the first game against Arizona, I think that might be a little iffy. I don't know if, as a whole, without Tom, the offense could pull that one off. But other than that, I think, you know, who else do they have? They have Houston, which I think it'll be a win, and then they have Buffalo and Miami, right? That sounds right.
I believe so. I'm going to pull it up right now, but I believe so.
Yeah, I think that's what it is, but I don't really
see a problem. Cardinals, Dolphins. They got Cardinals, Dolphins, Texans, Bills would be the first 4 games he would miss.
Right, okay. So, yeah, I think the Cardinals game will be an issue, but other than that. Well, that's the other thing. And the only game that they're not home is for the Cardinals. And this also ties into why they drafted a quarterback. I think that just in case, being the smart, you know, Patriots organization that they are, in case Brady's out, they need to have a backup for Jimmy. Because those are the only two quarterbacks that they have. So even if this kid only, you know, does so much during the summer, he still is going to have a chance to be a backup because they're going to need him. And even after that, they could maybe, because from what I've saw about this kid, he's pretty athletic, versatile. He can run, he can throw, he can do whatever. He can make him like move him around somewhere. Maybe a slot receiver and add him to that rotation or something.
do you think the Patriots have a plan in place? Like, Tom Brady said he wants to play another 10 years. Realistically, at 36, that's not going to happen. Do you think that now they're preparing, unfortunately, for life after Brady? And perhaps they're saying, okay, maybe Garoppolo's not our man, but let's bring two guys in and let them have a competition so when Brady finally does leave, they have a backup plan and they can just streamline somebody right in and there's no rebuilding process at quarterback?
Unfortunately. I grew up with, basically my entire life has been in the Tom Brady area, which I am so thankful for. And obviously I love him more than, anybody could love somebody because I'm a girl and he's Tom Brady. But, I mean, it sucks really thinking that. You like to think that the quarterback of your team is some, immortal person who is never going to retire, never going to get hurt, nothing like that. But, I mean, the reality of it is he's getting old, which you really couldn't tell by just watching him play.
No, he doesn't have a great hair on his head.
He's only got a few years left in him, which, I mean, the day he retires might be one of the worst days of my life. I don't know how I'm going to handle that.
Yes, Dad.
Me too.
Let me ask you this then. We talked a little bit about sex sales.
Probably. But I don't really like Gronk.
Yeah, every girl I know, is like, oh my God, Gronk. I was arguing with some girl at the bar the other day. I'm like, Gronk is such a meathead. He really is.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, such a hot meathead. But he's a hot meathead.
He's a cutie, I think there's Tom Brady and then there's Gronk. And if I had to choose, obviously I would pick Brady.
What about Edelman, Brianna?
Okay. Oh, that's my sister. My little sister is absolutely in love with him. So if I say anything about him and if she hears me, she'll come downstairs and she'll kick the crap out of me.
Edelman, and what's funny is, how tall are you, by the way?
5'9".
Okay, so you're taller than Edelman. So I think that's kind of funny. he's a good slot receiver, per se. I mean, I don't know if I'm digging the beard, but he's a great slot receiver. The Patriots have a knack of doing this. I mean, Edelman's been in that organization for a long time. They have a knack of taking people. Like, look at, what was his name there? Danny Amendola, the man the league forgot, basically. And
I'm sorry, I missed that.
Yeah, well, I think he's and we'll get back into it on Sunday if we'll have Dustin calling, because Dustin's got some
awesome
points regarding that. I think Tom Brady, I think it's a safe assessment to say Tom Brady is the greatest system quarterback of all time.
Oh my God, Chris!
I think it's the system. Tom Brady. No, seriously, if Tom Brady played for the Browns or the Bengals or the Dolphins or any one of these other teams, he'd be good. He's talented enough to be good. I just don't think that Brady would be the, immortal Tom Brady that he is today if he wasn't in that Patriots system.
Okay. Well, look, he's not a system quarterback. That knock, he was early on, probably through those, at least through the first two Lombardis. By 2004, he was starting to spread his wings and really become an offensive force. But to this day and age, Chris, 2007, he threw for 50 touchdowns and 4,800 yards, won a unanimous MVP. 2010, similar. The past 2 years, his play hasn't dropped off whatsoever. His ability as a passer and a quarterback is tremendous, Chris. I think you're kind of selling that short. Now, listen,
I'm not saying that he's bad. I'm just saying I think that in that system, he became a superstar when I don't know if on pretty much any other team he would have been. That's all I'm saying.
Well, and I was about to agree with you to the point that with Belichick and Brady, it's a symbiotic greatness that they both have benefited from each other. Let's put it that way. You'd have to have your head buried in the sand and be blind to think that Tom Brady has not benefited from being with the greatest coach of all time. Okay. That is without a doubt. But if let's say Tom Brady got drafted by the Dolphins or something like that, he would still be an awesome quarterback. He may not be the GOAT because he wouldn't have the titles, Chris. Titles, the titles are what make you go. Who's the best passer?
But is he a one-man
in
team?
History? I think it's Dan Marino.
He was on loaded teams. I mean, he was on loaded.
Was he?
Teams. It was just Brady.
Defensively, offensively, he's only 1 year and up until recently has he ever been on a team that's loaded with offensive talent. Not in 01, not
and
in 03, not in 04.
Well, I think it's safe to say you mentioned Dan Marino. I think Dan Marino. Obviously, Brady's been and more successful than pretty much anybody else. Can you guys hear me?
I can hear you well now, yeah.
All right, cool. It's one of those things where I move for a second. I got all these words and stuff underneath me, and it's the technology is so, yes. But one of the things where I understand Brady, you know, greatness personified today. I know Brianna is in love with him. But let me ask you, okay, what do you feel the state of the New England Patriots will be once Brady is fully gone? Do you think that the Patriots remain successful because of the system? Or do you feel that Tom Brady, you know, teaches this guy well enough or that he's streamlined into the process and is, you know, ready to go, basically, just like we saw when Matt Castle came in and led him to 11-5 thing because he learned under Brady for a couple. Do you think it'll be something like that, or will they be basically Cordero?
No, they'll still be successful, I think. I think it's the same thing, like you said, with the whole when Brady got hurt and Matt Castle had to play that season. Whoever the backup is going to be once he's gone, well, not the backup, I guess whoever the starter is going to be once he's gone, is going to be worked so well into the offense. Because I go to training camp every year, so I with my dad, and we kind of watch how they work with the backups, and they do enough with them so they get the real feel of the game. And even any quarterback who studies under Brady is going to do well, I mean, better than if they're, you know, somewhere, not to say that the Giants suck, but somewhere, well, they do. But,
oh, the Giants suck, okay.
Yeah, they sure did last year.
If they were under Eli, like, it's just two different worlds, I guess you could say, but once Brady's done and over with, I still think the Patriots are just going to be one of those teams where they're never going to not be successful because it's the Patriot way. Winning is the Patriot way. And being successful and being that all-around good team is just what they know, and it's what they know how to do.
So, Brianna, would you say then? Well, no, let you make your point, and then I have a Brianna here.
Okay.
I think as long as Belichick is around, this team will never be 2-14. Brady may go. If Belichick stays, this team will always be competitive and always be in the playoffs for a lot of the reasons Brianna just said. But Belichick is the key, as long as he's the coach.
She said that winning is what the Patriots do. Patriot way, winning. She says the Patriots are the way that they carry themselves in the organization, the way that they go about business with that. You say the Patriots are the Yankees, NFL?
Nope. Don't think I could ever say that.
Are the Patriots the Yankees of the NFL? They absolutely are.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Brianna, but they definitely
are.
No,
it's okay.
I hate to be – no, actually, I don't hate it. You know what? The Yankees fans of the late 90s, early aughts, whatever, now, whatever – they were hated. The Yankees were hated. But you know what? We hated them because they were friggin' awesome. And they won all the time. It's good to be a fan. It's good to be hated when you're on the winning team. I'm loving it. I love it. I don't care. You can throw all the – scoreboard is the bottom line. I'm sorry. You can throw all the shit, all the darts, all the slings and slurs you want at me for being a Patriot fan. You can hate my guts. I don't care. Scoreboard. We win all the time. You hate me because we're good. You hate us because you ain't us.
I guess.
Well,
I,
you know
when
what
you
I think.
It, when you put it that way, I agree.
You know, I think it's funny is, and I'm gonna post it to the site. I'll send it to you guys as well. As you may or may not know, I'm a play-by-play guy myself. I actually work for a school, Worcester, Mass, called Becker College. I don't know if you heard of them.
Oh, yeah.
They're out in Worcester, and I do the play-by-play for them. No, it's funny because I went to Hartwick out in Oneonta. They're not doing – they're having budget issues left and right. So, funny, my college roommate who played at Hartwick actually got the defensive coordinator job at Becker. And so then I was like, hey, you know what? I'm going to go do the play-by-play for them. And, you know, it's been a tough couple years. They haven't won more than three games a season since they've became a team. But this past season, they went 7-3. And they, you know, they were trending upward. And so being a play-by-play, I'll have to get this. I don't know if it is – I don't know if it is EEI or 98.5, the sports hub. I don't know who exactly it is that calls the Patriots games. I don't get the radio broadcast of the Patriots up here. But being a play-by-play guy myself, I think you guys can remember this game against the New Orleans Saints. This is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful play-by-play clip.
Freddy's in the gun. Colley and Tompkins left. Freddy throws it to the end zone for Kenbrell Tompkins. Leaping.
He's got it! Touchdown! Patriots!
Kenbrell Tompkins!
Freddy's back! That's your quarterback! Who left the building? Unicorn!
Is that the Hawthorne?
Where's the beef? That was amazing.
I've heard that
right?
so many
and,
times,
and,
Scott Zolak.
And I'm sitting there, yes, that was cool. Like, yeah, and I'm sitting there like, that is awesome from a play-by-play standpoint. Like, I can't – and that's one of the reasons why I got into sports was because I used to love those kind of radio – that's why I went radio and not TV. One, because my eyes suck and I can't read the teleprompter. But two, because I just – the play-by-play, the excitement of that, you don't even need to see it to understand what happened. And I think that laying that out is a beautiful thing. I remember watching that game. I really thought the Saints were going to come away with it. I actually, in a way, kind of felt bad for the Saints. But, you know, is it me or is it every single freaking time the Patriots are down, they get the ball back, and I'm like, here it is. Brady's going to lead them down the field and score here. And everyone's like, no, Brady's not going to, you know, Patriots are done. I'm like, no, watch. Brady's going to lead them down the field and score. And every single freaking time, I'm scratching my head, and I'm like, Tom Brady. You know, did it again. It's freaking
just
great.
Just a system quarterback, Chris. I mean, just a system. Well,
he is a system because, and here's why, because that offense that they have laid out for him is dynamic. I mean, it's the Wes Welker over the middle, the Danny Amendola to the outside, guys like Tompkins before who was a deep threat. I don't think he's there anymore, but he was a deep threat. They have an offense laid out for the short to intermediate passes, and they just pick you apart. They just cue apart sideline to sideline.
He picks them apart. Chris, where you're mistaken there is where you say they've laid out the offense for him. No, he's created that offense. It's the same offense that's been in place since 2001. Over the years, he's built that offense.
But who puts it in place? The offensive coordinator. The offensive coordinator puts it in place for him to go sideline to sideline, pick them apart 5 yards here, 8 yards here, 10 yards here, you know, 7 yards. And then after they wear out the defense and bring the safeties up in the box, he goes deep over the top. And,
but,
you know, it's just
you think the
it's one of those things.
Do you think the old coordinator implements a game plan without his assistant, old coordinator Tom Brady, you know, having a lot of input? That system is Tom's, man. The reason wide receivers, rookie wide receivers, free agent wide receivers who've succeeded at other teams come here and have a hard time is because they can't adjust to the offense because it is so complex, and Brady leads that. Brady is at the forefront of that offense. Brady's out there barking at the receivers when they – Don't pick the right route. It's Brady's offense. It's not the system.
And
it's Brady's offense.
That may be the case, but, I mean, in a way, I think that, you know, Brady is getting paid to, you know, play quarterback. And I think if he wasn't in a system where he was able to make those kind of decisions, you know, he would have to do what the offensive coordinator wants him to do. And so that's kind of why I think he was brought in and became what he became because of what they allowed him to become. And, you know, I mean, he's a sixth-round pick with limited experience out of Michigan. I saw his draft tape. He's a skinny kid, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, if it wasn't for Mo Williams taking Drew Bledsoe's head off, we might not see Tom Brady, or at least we would have seen him a lot later. And, you know, it's the same thing. Drew Bledsoe being made of glass contributed for Tom Brady coming in as early as he did. And obviously, they never looked back from there.
No.
Sorry,
go ahead.
No. I was going to say. I was going to get one more take from Brianna, and then I had a question for her. But no, continue.
Well, I was going to say, I think, number one, Tom Brady actually had an excellent senior year at Michigan. And he, was it the Rose Bowl? I think it was the Rose Bowl. He had a 400 yards, three touchdowns. He had a mind-blowingly good game. He was a really good college quarterback. He just had to split time with Drew Henson. I read the book. I forget what it was titled, but it went deep into that. I think it was the Brady versus Manning book. It went deep into his college career. And the Michigan coach at the time, oh, geez, slips my mind. One of the famous ones there won the national championship.
It wasn't Bo Schembechler, was it?
No, it was not after him. Okay. Who was it? Carr? Lloyd Carr? Lloyd Carr, maybe?
Yeah, okay.
Okay. He was conflicted the whole time between Henson and Brady. He kind of had to play Henson because of public sentiment with this talented kid who's going to play two sports. And, you know, he bombed out with the Yankees when he chose baseball. But he picked Henson because of politics. Brady didn't have all that behind him. But as far as performance, they were equivalent. And Brady was even better at times because of who Drew Henson was. And I'm air quoting that. Lloyd Carr went with him, and he regretted it to this day. If you read that book, Lloyd Carr was going back. He's trying to write some revisionist history about how he handled Brady at Michigan. So Brady was a much better quarterback coming out of Michigan than people knew about. Okay. And what was the other point that you made there that I wanted to clear up? Slipped my mind either way. But either way, I think I disagree with you about Tom Brady all the way up and down. I'm assuming you think he's not the GOAT, right? So who is?
I don't think he is, no. To me, I mean, I think – and we had this satellite discussions debate, and Dustin, you don't really have time to call in now, but if you want to have a debate again about this, you can go on and check. We have on YouTube, we have Todd, who's on the Satellite Sunday show, talk a little bit about Tom Brady and argue with Dustin about this. But I think we came to a determination on that show that the GOAT right now is Joe Montana.
Okay.
Now,
I'll be okay
now Brady – yeah, Brady's up there. But Dustin, now I'm calling you out here, Dustin. I'm not saying you have to call in right now. We've only got 5 minutes left. But Dustin says even that he feels Brady's not even as good as Peyton Manning.
Ouch, that's so wrong. Dustin, where are you when I need to talk to you about this? Because that is so wrong. I'll debate that till the end of my days.
Well, we're Tuesday, Thursday here on Sports Roundup, 11 to 1. So maybe on Thursday, if y'all are both available, we'll have Dustin call in. And Dustin can tell you why he feels that Peyton Manning is the better quarterback. And in fact, I'm going to send you guys after the clip of him talking about it, and then maybe Dustin, if he's in the chat box, can argue with you briefly about it as well.
Chris, I actually did hear that. Oh, sorry.
Oh, you did?
I did hear that clip before Satellite Sundays. I listened to a few of the clips you have up, and I heard that piece where Dustin was going on about how the stats you really should evaluate, and so we could revisit that, sure.
Okay. Well, hey, you know, that's our argumentative radio is better than – yep, I agree. Oh, yeah, totally. Uh-huh, I understand. Yeah, sure. No, make a good point.
Oh, yeah, I know, right?
You know what I'm saying? Like it's better to go back and forth. Whether it's your real opinion or not, it's better to always go back and forth. 3 minutes left – well, 4 minutes left to go here, 3:56 and some change. So, Brianna, this is a closing banter portion here. We'll get into the soccer debate maybe on Thursday. It was going to be why don't Americans care about soccer the way the rest of the world does. Maybe we'll get into that a little bit on Thursday. This was just sort of getting our wet a little bit for Sports Roundup, but – yeah, so what are you studying at Western Connecticut?
Well, considering that there is no actual journalism major here, I'm doing communications.
Oh, fair enough.
But once I transfer, I'm actually doing sports media and broadcasting.
Oh, beautiful. Okay. Well, because and maybe see if they will allow your contributions to our site and our shows as credit. Maybe they do that. Here's the thing. I went to a Hartwick College who didn't have a journalism program either. Only on the state had a journalism program. So what I was able to do was I was able – because they're right across the street from each other. I was able to take one class per semester over there. So we had a program called the ISP, which is Individual Student Program, and I was able to make the major. I made broadcast journalism as the major. I took – they had journalism classes, just not the major. So I took, you know, creative writing, nonfiction – newspaper writing, took journalism 1, 2, and 3. I took this and that, took history of radio. I took all this other stuff as my undergrad. And then I went over and took the actual specified journalism classes at Oneonta State. And then you know, I just basically made the major. And then, you know, I did the play-by-play for the football team and things like that. So I was able to use that as credit. But it's one of those things where it's a great, great, great thing. And don't feel – they're going to try to push you. Just so you know, they're going to try to push you to say that you need a master's in it. You do not. Quite frankly, it's good to get your bachelor's, but you don't even necessarily need it in this field. You just need to be good at what you do. But I do like the fact that, you know, you're coming into our world here, coming into my stomping grounds as a media professional journalist. Let me ask you, a minute 5 to go. What are your goals as a potential journalist?
I wouldn't mind writing, because as you guys can tell, I like writing my articles, but I would much rather be like an anchor on ESPN or like a Aaron Andrews type position or something like that.
Okay.
I want like
Michelle Beadle
on TV.
Okay.
I want to be talking about,
okay,
you know, I grew up with sports. My dad used to coach football. He played football in college and everything like that. So I grew up loving everything about the sports world. So I figured, you know what, if I love it so much, why not pursue it? But something on TV is ideal.
Okay. See, I wanted to be an anchor on SportsCenter forever until I got to Connecticut School of Broadcasting and realized I couldn't meet a teleprompter. But here's the thing. I do recommend this as well. Connecticut School of Broadcasting is right down the road in Farmington. I don't know how far that is from you. They have Stratford, Mass. Campus and things like that as well. I recommend going checking that out too if you want. It's only 8 weeks. It's a great, great program. Again, more free advertising. Under a minute left to go here. We're going to go to commercial break on the FM. We're going to kick this thing off. Yankee coverage later on. This was the inaugural broadcast. Wanted to get our feet wet, sort of get comfortable with each other. I talked way too much as usual. On Thursday, I'm going to take more of a mediator role, and we'll let Joe and Brianna have their sort of his and her take on things. So make sure you check that out. Hopefully Dustin will call in, argue with these two regarding Tom Brady being the GOAT. Tom Brady versus Peyton Manning. This is going to be a very New England-esque show, so get ready, all you New Yorkers. So, again, thank you for joining us. It is Overtime.News Sports Roundup. We will see you in 2 days on Thursday. It's May already. It's beautiful weather. See you then. Make sure you check out the site.